If you will, if you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, as we are continuing on in our study of our new series. And we have basically been in this now for 2 weeks, and as we're entering into the third of what is or the marks of a healthy church member. As I told you, we could have called this marks of a healthy Christian, but we are looking, kind of want to make this really pinpointing this to the church and how we can contribute to the health of our local faith family. And so we're asking the question, how can we be healthy church members? And so far we have discovered the first two marks. The first one being that we are to know the gospel. We are to know the gospel. And then second, we are to embrace the word, embracing word. If you've missed these sermons and you would like to get them, they're on our website and our Facebook app, and so you can, or our iPhone app, you can get them on there. And so even our past sermon series, but we need to move forward this morning. Don't want to recap too much, but you can get those there. But today we move into the third mark of a healthy church member. Healthy church members are committed to the church. Let me say that again. Healthy church members are committed to the church, to the local body, to the faith family. They are committed. They are dedicated. And so if you will, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10 this morning, and I want you to see this. Hebrews is a wonderful, wonderful passage. I'm going to have to hold myself back that I don't try to give you too much this morning because there's so much here, but we'll do okay. So look with me. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. May God bless the preaching of His Word this morning. During my study this week, I came across a new epidemic that is sweeping the nation. It's just a bad one, real bad. So I was studying and I was reading some things by H.B. Charles, pastor out of Jacksonville, Florida. He has enlightened me on a new sickness that has affected the church. It's called Morbus Sabbaticus. You can write that down, right? Morbus Sabbaticus, commonly known as Sunday morning sickness. Now, listen to what he says. The symptoms are quite interesting. It never interferes with the appetite or affects the eyes. The Sunday newspaper can be read with no pain. Watching television, especially sports, football, seems to help the victim. The only symptom is that you cannot get up and go to church. Strangely, you usually do not feel it until Saturday evening, but it hits when morning comes on Sunday. It never lasts more than 24 hours. About the time Sunday morning service is over, the patient feels better. Monday morning, the patient's able to get up and go to work, but it has a way of striking again the following Sunday. And after a few weekly attacks, it may become chronic. And due to the contagious nature of Morbus Sabbaticus, many churches have died never to reopen their doors again. Interesting, though, Morbus Sabbaticus is not a new epidemic that's just sweeping our country and sweeping our churches today. Matter of fact, I kind of did a little bit of study on this and just was looking back. And matter of fact, Morbus Sabbaticus goes all the way to the garden, to after the garden. Adam and Eve sinned and kicked out of the garden, and we find it with their children, Cain and Abel. How Cain was infected with Morbus Sabbaticus. He didn't want to worship the way that God had told him to worship. In the book of Numbers, there was a guy who was affected. Matter of fact, he was so contagious, they stoned him to death because instead of keeping the Sabbath holy, he was working on the Sabbath. Matter of fact, we even see this in some other areas. We looked at it this morning, did we not, in Sunday school, where David himself was not at war with the people of God, with the soldiers, but David apparently didn't feel very good, so he stayed homesick, right? The very reason that the book of Hebrews is written is because of morbus sabbaticus. The epistle was written to a group of Jewish Christians who were starting to forsake the faith family. They were forsaking the church. What started out as missing here and there began to turn into a full-fledged rejection of the Christian faith. They were under severe persecution. There was a great temptation to go back to the old Jewish way, to the old Jewish lifestyle. The anonymous author of Hebrews wrote this letter to challenge them. Persevere. Persevere. Don't give up. The cure to morbus sabbaticus in his mind, and I believe is the correct answer, he says, there is only one antidote for this. His name is Jesus Christ. And so there in the book of Hebrews, from chapters 3 to chapter 10, all the way into chapter 9, the author basically lays out the antidote by looking at Jesus under a microscope and showing how Jesus was the once and for all perfect ultimate sacrifice. Because they were wanting to go back and get back into the rituals and the, you know, the old sacrifices and all that. And he says, you don't need that anymore. You've been cured of that through Christ. Not only is he the ultimate sacrifice, but he is your high priest. He is the great ultimate priest who doesn't just go before God just on your behalf. Oh, no, no, no. This priest takes you with him to God, into the presence of God. The antidote for your problem of forsaking the church is Christ. And so he wants to show them that Christ is better. He's better than the religious system of Judaism. And he is worth the suffering that they were enduring. And so there he does from 3 to 9. He lays out the greatness of Christ. But now in chapter 10, verses 19 and 21, he summarizes that argument. And I want you to see here, notice he summarizes in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God. Notice he's summarizing all of that. Because of Christ, he then gives us three commands. Three commands. Let us, verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart. Let us draw near in worship to the Lord. Then there in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. And then the third command in verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Because of Christ, we the people are to draw together for these three things. Notice that he begins every command with the let us. Why? I mean, why does he need to say you? Why doesn't he just write and say, hey, Brian, because of Christ, you can draw near to Jesus. Because of Christ, you can draw near to God. Brian, you need to do this, or Trey, or whoever. Why doesn't he just write it to us as individuals? Well, the answer is quite simple, beloved. The work of Christ in salvation does not just make a new person. The work of Christ in salvation, our high priest, our ultimate and greatest sacrifice, doesn't just work in the redemption of individuals. Redeeming just you, it redeems a people. It redeems a people. We call these people the church. In Acts chapter 2, we find the birthplace of the church. In Acts 2, verse 47, it says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So there in Acts chapter 2, we have the birthplace of the church, and there at the end, we find that the church begins to grow. It begins to grow numerically. God was adding people to the church. Notice that. Notice that God did not add people to the church without saving them. And God did not save them without adding them to the church. You can't separate the two. You can't speak on the one hand, I have been saved by God, but I really don't belong to a church. I'm not a part of this group. There's those people over there, but I'm over here. I'm saved and I'm good. I don't need them. God, when he saves people, adds them to a local church. To the big church, yes, but to the local church as well. The union of personal salvation and church membership, beloved, is a clear teaching in the New Testament. You cannot escape it. It is the clear teaching of the book of Hebrews. We are not to just draw near. We are not to just hold fast. And we are not just to stir our own selves up, but we are to do it together. God expects, even commands, for you and I to live our faith out in the faith community with others. A community that we call the local church. And so I know there are those of you, and maybe you know those people who say, I don't need the church. I got Dish Network, you know, right? I got the praise station. I can get my praise on. I can stay in my pajamas and worship the Lord all day. Apparently, they have not read the book of Hebrews. I submit to you this morning, FBC, that the third mark of a healthy Christian is a commitment to the local church. And by commitment, I mean that each member is dedicated and loyal to the church. Look, we got this idea going around that I know I owe no man an excuse or anything. I owe him nothing. I only owe that to God. I only answer to God, yes. But how do you answer to God? Through the local church. God has always used men to speak since the fall of man. He has spoken through the prophets, through his word. Yes, there are times where God speaks audibly, but the majority of the time throughout Scripture, he speaks through his people and through his word that he has given us, through his church. And so when we talk about commitment, we are talking about you and I embracing and understanding that we have a responsibility not only to God, but to the people that belong where my membership resides. That we are 100% devoted, responsibility, duty, obligation to that church. And we are not seeing that no more, are we? But you and I are living in an age where Christianity has become this individual thing where it's just me. And I, you know what? I ain't worried about all those other people. Beloved, that is not how God thinks. And nor should that be how we think. And this is the reason why churches have high memberships but low attendance. High memberships, but low attendance. Because we don't view what we're doing here this morning as important. Not to God and not to ourselves. And can I tell you this morning, there is nothing of greater importance this morning than this right here. Can I just get real with you for a moment and say to you, there's nothing you did this past week or this week coming that is of greater importance today than you sitting in this place with us worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. How does that make you feel? But you don't know what I did. You are drawing near this morning to God and to his people. You are in the presence of God's people, and you are in God's presence this morning. What greater thing did you do this week than that? And that's the reason why it should well up within us. And again, I was struggling this morning. I looked to Melanie and I said, man, I kind of wish today was Saturday and tomorrow was Sunday just to get a little more rest. But praise be to God, we are here today. Amen. Because there is nothing I'm going to do the rest of this day or the rest of this week that is greater than this. Let us do these things. Notice with me the three commands that the author gives us. In the first one, we see regular worship attendance. In the second, we see mutual spiritual growth. And in the third, we see active participation in church ministry. I want you to see these three things that we are to do. Let us. Notice with me verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, growing up in Judaism, the readers were taught that they could not approach God. They could not get into the presence of God. They were God's people, yes, but God was up there and they were down here. I mean, everybody else was further away from God. They were the closest, but there was this gap between they and God. They could not approach Him. They could not be in His presence. And guess what? They were correct. They couldn't. Because they, like every human being, was guilty of sin against God. And if a person who tries to go into the presence of God based upon his character, his works, his merits, his religious affiliation, whatever it is, they would find themselves lacking. And they would be denied access into the very presence of our Lord. And so this is why the Jews had a high priest, an individual who would go through a ritual cleansing and would enter the presence of God on behalf of the people. So see, this morning, you couldn't be here this morning in this place. Only your pastor could, or only your priest could. You would be somewhere else. And then the person would enter in on your behalf. And so he would go and he would make a sacrifice, cleansing them of their sins. And even though the Jews, again, they were God's people, but they did not have full access to their Lord. But the author of Hebrews says that that is no more. That because of Christ, our ultimate high priest, this is the gospel that Jesus died on behalf of the sins of people, that he's the ultimate sacrifice. So therefore, our sins have been washed away. They have been separated from us as far as the east is to the west. His death, his resurrection on our behalf did what no animal sacrifice could ever do. But notice what he says, sprinkle our hearts clean from an evil conscience and wash our bodies with pure water. We are clean, beloved. We are no longer guilty. We are no longer to be ashamed because of the sacrifice of Christ. I have been washed. And so now I have been given access, full access to the Lord. He is with me at all times. He has revolutionized our relationship with Him. Not only are we saved and made clean, but now He says, you can draw near. You were not able to. You were not able to be with that loved one, but now you can draw near. It's almost like in their day, your wife or your husband or your child had leprosy, and you could not be with them, and they were far off, and you would just wave and let them know, I want you to know I love you over there. And he says, but Christ has come in and cleansed them or cleansed you. And now it's no longer over there, but you have been brought together by his sacrifice and have full access to him. You say, what does this mean with regular church attendance? Worship attendance. Beloved, what better way to draw near? What greater means of grace have you and I been given than the weekly worship attendance of drawing near together in worship of our Lord Jesus Christ? Let us draw near together. Healthy church members regularly attend worship. They draw near to the presence of God. And this command confronts those who would say, I don't need church. Church is boring. Pastor's long-winded. Pastor worship doesn't sing my songs that I like. Children are loud. You know, it's all those hypocrites over there. I mean, I know what so-and-so's done. I don't know why. I don't need church. If you believe that, it is because that, beloved, of two things. One, you do not understand what this is about. That you are drawing near to the very one who has given you access to him. And two, you don't want to draw near. You don't want to draw near, because if you really wanted to draw near to God, then nothing will stop you from entering in a place that you've been given access to. If you were to walk up to Disney today and say, I've been given full access to Disney, right? They'd probably tell you were crazy. It's like a mousetrap for people, all right? They don't, you know, pay lots of money to get in. It's ridiculous. But let's just say that you got a card that said, I have full access. I ain't got a, it was given to me free, let me in. You would go. And nothing would stop you. You would go. We've been given access to our Father. And corporate worship is a means of grace by which His people get to meet with Him. And so therefore, regular worship attendance should not only be your desire, but it expresses your true devotion to God. It lets us know whose team you're really on. Through worship, you are regularly drawing near to God, to the God of heaven and earth, to the one who has redeemed you with His people. May I encourage you this morning? May I encourage you to find access to the presence of God? Maybe this morning you have no access because you're not saved. Maybe this morning church means nothing to you because it is nothing, because you have not been given an access because you have not come to faith in Jesus Christ and repented of your sins. May I say to you this morning, beloved, come to Christ in salvation. When we experience salvation, we understand that you will understand then the desire to be in His presence. You will understand the desire to draw close, and you will be motivated. You will want to be with Him. If you were lost this morning, may I just say to you, He out of His great love for you, He has given His life and died for your sins and given you access to Him. Come, repent, believe in Him. But may I say to you, the worshiper, to the Christian, may I just say to you, attend worship. Because where else can you go and sing of His grace? Did you not enjoy the songs this morning? Do you not enjoy those songs every Sunday morning? Did you not enjoy Mr. Garland this morning reading the word of the man healed? Did you not enjoy the offering this morning? Some people are like, that may be the hardest one for me to enjoy, you know. But when you think of it and what you were just giving back, a little bit of what God has given you. Oh, beloved, may I say to you this morning, make worship a priority and attend worship. But may I say to you also, participate in worship. You see, you may attend, but if you're on your phone this morning, you're not participating. If you're looking at your bulletin and you're looking at your watch and all that, you're not participating. So therefore, it's like really you're not even here. God doesn't see that as real full-on attendance, by the way. Participate in the listening and the praying and the singing. Read along. Take notes. And then go and reproduce what you have gotten today. Take it to work with you and reproduce what you have gotten. Enjoy and draw near on Sunday mornings. I agree with Matt Chandler. If someone doesn't have much use for praising God on Sunday mornings, it is foolish to think that they are ready to praise Him in heaven. If we have no use for worshiping God on Sunday mornings, it is foolish to think that we are ready to praise Him in heaven. We are to draw near and worship, beloved. But secondly, notice the second command, the mutual perseverance. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Because Jesus was faithful to carry out God's plan to bring us salvation, we should not question His faithfulness to hold on to our salvation. If He can save us, then guess what? He can keep us. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The Jews didn't need to go back. You don't have to go back to the way things were. You shouldn't want to. Jesus is enough for you. They needed to have confidence that they were in a right relationship with God now and press forward in right living, press forward in spiritual growth.
They needed to not fall away, but press forward and do it together, by the way. Healthy church members seek mutual perseverance. I want to finish, right? Do you want to finish the race?
I guess someone does.
Do you want to finish the race?
All right, we're going to get there.
Yes. I want to finish. You want to finish. Then let's finish together. Then let's finish this together. Let us run the race, but we are not running it alone. God says we are not only committed to Him, but we are committed to one another. Healthy church members are committed to holding fast to their hope in Christ together. They are committed to their sanctification, their progression of faith. We are committed to completing the race that we are on and not losing anyone, by the way. An illustration, beloved, that we find is though, again, H.B. Charles, he gives, he says of the redwoods in California, they stand hundreds of feet high and some are said to be over, 2,000 years old. He said, compared to other trees, redwoods do not have many roots and they do not go very deep. Yet the redwoods have stood for centuries. Why? Because their roots are intertwined. They're interwoven. They're connected to one another. So when the wind blows and the storms come, the redwoods stand because they are linked. They are locked together. May I ask you a question? Do you have a burden for those who are not here? But were once here. Out of the 1,200 members on the roll, beloved, and only 100 and something here this morning, do you have a burden for the ones who are not here? Let us hold fast to one another. Let us interlock with one another that we may not find ourselves not losing our salvation. That's not what this is. You don't lose your salvation, but what you find is that if you don't persevere, you were never saved in the first place. And so therefore, we are working together to make our election sure. I'm not just making sure mine's sure. I'm trying to make sure yours is sure, and you're making sure mine's sure. And so we're interlocked together. Did we let them leave too easily? Have you ever had a kid, your child, when you're leaving your house, what do? Don't go. And they wrap your leg up. Don't go. Did we let those who were with us, sitting with us and worshiping with us, leave too easily? May I challenge you, beloved, to do some things this morning. Be constant in your accountability of one another. Be constant in your accountability with one another. Be watchful, not only over your own life, but on the lives of others. It is okay for you to notice the struggles and the sins of your beloved and your brethren and say to them, I have been watching. I have been watching and you were struggling and I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to fall behind. May I say, have constant fellowship with one another, inside and outside the church gatherings. Be honest. How are you doing this morning? I'm great. I'm fine. No, you're not. Be honest about your struggles. Be in constant prayer for one another. For one another, and by the way, with one another. Our Sunday schools, we should just be praying. Not over somebody's broken toes. I mean, yes, you pray for those, but we should be praying for those that are in there saying, you know what? My family is struggling. I'm struggling. My faith is struggling. And beloved, may we rely together on the power of Christ. May we not only latch onto one another, but latch onto Him as our strength. According to John Piper, making it to the end in faith shows that we were real, that we had indeed shared in the sacrifice of Christ. So let us all run this race together, arms locked. Thirdly, he says, faithful participation in church life. Notice verse 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Did you catch the end of the command? It's almost like the motivation for each one of these. The first one, your hearts have been sprinkled, you've been clean, therefore draw near. Jesus is faithful. He's going to keep his promises so you can hold fast. But notice this one. All the more as you see the day drawing near. Time is short. Jesus is coming back. Or you're going to go to him, either one. You don't have much time on this earth. And so therefore, he is saying, because time is short, you should consider your participation, your responsibility toward one another in love and good deeds. You are to consider your active participation in church life. That we are called to love one another and do good deeds while we wait on Jesus' return. This is a responsibility given by God to all Christians. You are his workmanship, created to do good works. Where is the best place that I can find work to do? In the church. Where is the best place I can love those around me? The church. And this is what's really funny. People complain, those church people don't love me. When was the last time you've been to church? It's been a long time. How can they love you if you ain't there? And here's the other one. Everybody's like, you know, I really want to do some work for the Lord. When's the last time you've been to church? I don't know. You know, if you go to church, there's plenty of work to do. The responsibility of all believers, beloved, is to love and do good deeds. And yet many have forsaken this responsibility in their day and in our day as well. We are like the servant who did nothing with the talents given by his master, found in Matthew 25. He took the talents and he went and he buried them in the sand. The master came back, he got them out, and he's like, look what I got. And the master was furious. While I was away, you did nothing. Beloved, hear me. The day draws near. Christ is coming back, and if he finds that you and I have been not doing good deeds, not loving, we're not working in his name, we will have nothing to show when he returns. Healthy church members faithfully participate in church life. Church gatherings are to have the purpose of fostering love and good deeds toward one another. And notice he says, consider. It means it's a constant focus. I am constantly looking. Who can I love today? Who can I love today? Who can I serve today? Oh, so-and-so has been struggling. I saw something on Facebook, right? So who? I'm constantly considering not only my Lord in worship, but when I come to this place on Sunday, I am looking for those to love and to encourage and do good deeds for or do good deeds with. Not just drawing near to God. I'm drawing near to one another in close fellowship. And I don't mean potluck fellowship, not just trading recipes, though I did ask for a recipe this morning. It's okay. And I ain't joking about that. Miss Sandy's got a mean chicken salad, is all I'm saying. Fellowship is far more than that. It is faithfully attending church gatherings together in love, faith, and encouragement, ministering to and with one another. So let me ask you. How many of you have encouraged somebody already this morning? How many of you have already expressed love to somebody already this morning? You say, well, I didn't have a lot of time. I got here pretty quick. Uh-huh. What about Sunday school? I didn't go to Sunday school. Uh-huh. How many of you have done a good deed for somebody here already this morning? Are you faithfully participating in church life? Let me give you some things that will help you find if you're not. Not faithfully coming to church. H.B. Charles says, if you are absent and others do not know you were absent, Or if they do not know where you are and they're not surprised at your absence, you're probably out of the will of God. If you can miss church without being missed at church, something is missing. If you can miss church without missing church, something is missing. Not participating, not encouraging, not loving, not engaging one another in some constructive, spiritually constructive way. Not in Sunday school. Not fulfilling your responsibility to a committee. If you're on a committee, if you've got a teaching position, if you have volunteered and said, I will do this, and you don't do it, and no one knows where you are, and they're relying on you, beloved, you are not being faithful in the participation of church life. So may I encourage you this morning to engage one another. All the one another's. We did this on Sunday nights. Love one another, serve one another, pray for and with one another, hold one another accountable. There's just tons of these one another's, beloved, but engage one another. May you serve the local church, serve in the local church for the community and for the good of our children and our youth. We're really wanting to do some things, but we're in need of people to do these things. And what's so funny is you've got these people there, but they're not participating in church life. The pray for one another. I am so thankful for our prayer warriors. You are a blessing to me. I think that ministry is phenomenal in the prayergrams. But notice the also is that we may stimulate one another. Do you know that word means to irritate? For those of us in Louisiana, we have a wonderful way of explaining that. That is a mosquito bite. And you just scratch and scratch and scratch, right? And it just irritates. And what does it do? This is not, hey, brother, I love you and let me give you a hug. No, this is metal on metal. He says you are to stimulate tough love with one another. Beloved, we are to be participants in church life. It has been said that football has been described as 22 men on a field in desperate need of rest, being watched by 22,000 people in the stands in desperate need of exercise. And the sad fact is that most churches operate just like that. We are killing those in our church who do everything because no one will come along and take their place. And we are killing them spiritually. It is not a spectator sport where you simply show up, receive the ministry of others, give an offering, greet a few acquaintances and friends, then go home thinking and talking about how the services suited your taste or touched your emotions or met your needs. Church life is three-dimensional. God blesses us. We bless God. But guess what? We also bless one another. We bless one another by saying and doing the things that stir up love and works. Healthy Christians are committed to church life. The question is, are you? Are you committed to it? Are you devoted to First Baptist Church and the work and the ministry that is being done here? How should you respond this morning? We must begin where the author begins. We must begin with Christ. We must, in order to be faithful worshipers and persevere together and be faithful in participation, we must first be worshipers of Christ. And that only comes to the salvation of God by experiencing His undeserved, but yet just all addictive grace. Oh, beloved, may I say to you this morning that you would go to the gospel this morning. If you have not believed, believe in Christ, repent of your sins. But if you are a believer, I would say that you would go and be reminded of the great grace that you have been given. I would then say, join the local church. you're not a member of a local church and you are looking, beloved, you join. If you're someone who says, you know, I'm a member, but I just don't go, I bounce around here. That's not good, just bouncing around churches. Join and be committed to a local church. We do that through baptism and by letter. Rejoice if you are a dedicated member this morning. Can you rejoice with me? There's no greater place to be, and there is no greater work to do than that which God has called us. Let us rejoice in the church and quit acting like that this is some kind of burden. Because if it's a burden to you and me, if we're not rejoicing, then they don't want it. I love this church. I love this church should be our motto. I want to be at that church. That should be the motto of everyone. I want my church to be a good and healthy church. Rejoice. Rejoice in here and rejoice out there. They don't want to come if you're not rejoicing of how great church is. And I don't know about you, but it's good. And I would say finally this morning, if you are not faithfully participating in church life, repent and dedicate your life to the church. Dedicate your life to the Lord, yes, but dedicate your life to the church in worship, to its people, and to its life, the ministry and the fellowship of the church. May we walk out of here this morning in rejoicing. Not only was God good, but so was church. Amen? Let's pray.